Okay, turn me in your Bibles again to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and this will be part 4 of this topical message that I entitled, Paul, a Genuine Preacher. And when you have it, just say amen. Okay. We'll be reading verses 1 through 4 for context. And it reads, For you yourself know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain, but even after we have suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict or opposition. For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit, but as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, again, we thank you for this time you've given us. May our hearts be ready to receive the engrafted word, your word of truth that is able to not only save us, but to guide us in the way that we should go. We ask, Spirit of God, who is the Spirit of truth, that you lead us, O Lord, into all your truth. Again, let us be decreased that you may be increased. Sanctify us through thy word, for thy word is truth. We give you the praise, the glory, and honor. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, last week we was continuing on in our study of here. And last week we began in this verse, chapter 1, talking about how that is important for us to recognize genuine preachers. And especially in the times that we are living in right now, at this present time, under the circumstances that has been given to us or has been placed on us, I thank God that we are now received those that who are true and who are not true as far as speaking the word of God. As we have seen that the Supreme Court have now ruled that same-sex marriage is okay, yet they overrule what God, who is the highest authority, say that it's not okay. As a matter of fact, he said it is abomination in his sight and not in man's sight. So who do we believe? God himself, who is the highest authority, who one of his titles is called the Most High. That means that there's no one greater than him. And he said that same-sex marriage, or what they say same-sex marriage, according in that sense, but the Bible calls it sodomite, Bible calls it, in the Old Testament calls it the preferred persons. He calls them that just as it is. God said that this is an abomination. So we will see who is truly the true preachers and those that who are not. But I think it's very important that we recognize these as well. Again, last week we talked about here Apostle Paul, who I personally believe is the genuine preacher, the one who has been called by God, the one who has been set apart for God, the one who God has placed in the ministry, the one who God has appointed to be a preacher. He points out here to the young Thessalonian churches that who he is. And as I mentioned last week, the young Thessalonian church were told lies about the Apostle Paul. They had charged him with all kinds of malicious slanders against him. And here the Apostle Paul, now he corrects them. And as I mentioned last week, he doesn't belittle them. He doesn't go off on them. He just corrects them. And that's one of the things, as we talked about, how that we as ministers must be careful of as well. And we started off in verse 1 here, beginning about his background, when he says, For you yourself know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. And again, as I mentioned last week, he helped them to recall of their remembrance of him, how he was experienced with them. In other words, he's saying, you should already know these things. You should know who I am. You should know that I was who I was, who I say I was when I was with you. Also, he says that my interest to you was not in vain. In other words, my ministry with you was not in vain. It was not fruitless. It was not empty. It was not of truth. It was not devoid of truth. No, he said, it was fruitless. As a matter of fact, if you again go back with me to chapter 1, verse 9, and this is one of the key texts that he says here, talking to the young Thessalonian church. He says, for they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And then based on what they were saying about Paul saying, no, you know that you had a fruitful ministry and that my ministry was fruitful as well. Well, not long that he talks about his background, but I want us to see his boldness. Now, keep in mind, I shared with you the qualification of what a genuine preacher is supposed to be, based on the Word of God, and how important it is for me and you and everyone else who hear my voice, how we must uphold our spiritual leaders to this standard. This is not an option. This is what the standard of Brother Rod and myself and these ministers as well, and those of you who are called teachers, those who God has now placed you in the ministry, you are to be held against this standard. And Paul was sharing with young Timothy the qualification of being a spiritual leader. But now I want you to see it from his own mouth. I want you to see it from his own testimony, based on what he have already shared with young Timothy. He's now sharing it with his own mouth. In other words, Paul was practicing what he preached. Okay? First, again, his background. But secondly, I want us to see his boldness. But notice verse 2. He says, but even after we have suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. Again, the genuine preacher, he is to be boldly in his preaching in spite of opposition. And where did he get this confidence? Notice that he says, we was bold in what? In our God. Now, right before Paul had launched his ministry into the Thessalonians, he and Silas and Timothy were spitefully, shamefully misabused. They was treated, and then they was imprisoned by those of the Philippi, and he was forced by the city officials to leave the city. You go to Acts chapter 16. Now, I want you to notice the word suffer before. And here it primarily talks about physical abuse. In Acts chapter 16, verses 22-23, the scripture says, and they laid many stripes on them. In other words, they just beat them with switches or with a belt. The Bible declares, or some tradition it says, that they was whipped with many stripes. And those of the time of the Roman time, they had whips that was consist of like glass, nails, metal, pieces of metal, bones, the same cat of nine tail whip that they whipped our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he suffered for our sins. So they was whipped with many stripes, and most of the time it would have been 39 plus 1. That means that's what? 40 times. And if you could read it in the book of Acts, how that they was locked in stocks, they was placed in, and when you were locked in stocks, your legs were stretched to the limit. It's like this. Not like this or like how prison is today. It ain't nothing like how it was, like it is today, where we have a little cart and we have where you can go and use the restroom. You may have a little TV and that. No. Back then, you was in the dungeon, you was in the cave, you was in a hole, and you was stretched like this. But not only that you stretch like this, but your back is ripped open. It's almost to the point that where you can see your own organs. This is how Paul was saying, you know, Thessalonians, how that we suffered before. So they was physically abused. Now, when the scripture says spitefully, or I like how the King James Version says shamefully treated, this has to do with legal abuse, unjustly judged. And remember, they had not committed no crime. None whatsoever. Again, you can go to the book of Acts. You can find that in chapter 16, verse 20 and 24. And what they did, all they did was cast the demon out of that slave girl. As the Bible says that Paul got tired of it and turned around and cast the demon out because the girl was telling them, possessed by the demon, that these are the men who preaches in the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm just paraphrasing. But to me, God was saying, I don't need a demon to proclaim my gospel. And when he cast them out, the people went in an uproar, particularly the masters of that slave girl. And they cast them in there in prison. Now again, this word shamefully treated means that they were shamefully mistreated, treated in an insulting way. It means that they was outrageously treated in a public shameful way. In other words, everybody seen how they was treated. They were publicly humiliated as well as physically abused. But now in all that, notice the scripture, Paul says, but even after we had suffered before and was spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, Thessalonians, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God. Hear that word. In conflict means, it's the Greek word agonon, and it means generally any struggle or context or strife or contention. It means contest for victory. It's like those that who participated in the Greek games as far as boxing and wrestling or even running. But not only that, it also means that they was exposed to danger. They was exposed to danger at the peril of their lives. So when they spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when they preached in spite of the contention that they was going to face, in spite of what was happening to them, had happened to them in Philippi, they still spoke the word of God boldly. Again, in spite of their opposition, he still preached the gospel of God. And whose gospel? It's God's gospel. Notice what it says. God's gospel in much conflict. The gospel of God. I like what John MacArthur says here, and I'm quoting. He says that the minister or the preacher of responsibility is not to minimize the conflict. The preacher's job is to expose sin, to expose the symptom of sin, the seed of sin, to confront the fatal condition of unredeemed humanity, and offer the cure for their wretchedness in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We confront sin, we preach judgment, we preach law, we preach Christ crucified, and when we call for repentance, and often what that produces is opposition. Unquote. The genuine preacher do not change the message. He don't change the message. Because of the opposition, because of the persecution, he don't change the message. And Paul said, in spite of how I was treated in Philippi, I still came to you, Thessalonians, and I know that I was going to face a lot of persecution, but I was bold in my God, and I boldly preached the gospel of God. You don't change the message. And again, I want to look at that phrase, God's gospel. And then it is mentioned two times, particularly in this chapter here, in verses, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And also you can find it in Mark chapter 1, verse 14. You can find it in Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Romans chapter 15, verse 16. You can also find it in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 7. And lastly, in 1 Peter chapter 4, 17. And what does this mean? It means this is God's gospel. It's from His perspective. Not what man says. It's not Brother Mike's gospel. It's not Pastor Ron's gospel. It's not these men's gospel. It's God's gospel. It's the good news designed and revealed by God Himself, how He redeems sinners like you and me through grace by faith through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as genuine preachers, we do not change the message. We don't change it because of the persecution that is now going to come upon us. We finna see for real who are the genuine preachers now who will speak up and boldly say, God said same-sex marriage, sodomite, homosexuality, it is an abomination. We finna see who's the true. We finna see who's on God's side and who's on the world's side. That word boldly or boldly means to speak freely, to speak out, to speak public without fear. Paul said, look, I had no fear of that. Had no fear of the opposition or persecution that would come against me. And one of the indicates that you have opposition, that's when you know you are boldly speaking the truth. When you have opposition coming against you because you speak the truth, praise be to God. The genuine preacher knows that God has called him and know why the purpose that He called him to preach God's gospel. So he preached it regardless of any circumstances. See, it's not just us either, my brothers and sisters. It's not just the men who stand behind this pulpit, even though that's particularly my theme of this message, is for those that you recognize genuine preachers, but it's also for you as well, on your job, wherever you go, when you hold to the truth that is in the Word of God, when you hold to Jesus Christ, who is your Lord and Savior, when you hold to His truth, when you proclaim in boldness His truth, you also will face opposition. You also will struggle with context, with those who will come against you because you uphold the truth. And it's sadly, even in our own families, Christ says, your enemies will be of your own family. You don't have to turn, but in Matthew chapter 10, verse 7, Jesus speaks to the 12 apostles. And he said, and I'm quoting, he said, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. The genuine preacher don't have no right to change the message. He told them, he gave them specific instructions. You are not to preach your own philosophy, not your own views of what you think or what you think the Bible says. You are to go and preach saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You go and preach what I told you to preach. One of my favorites is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. It says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants or doulas, bond servants or slaves, for Jesus' sake. Paul said, look, we preach not ourselves. The minister, the preacher, he don't supposed to be behind there talking about himself. He talks only about Christ. Again, another one of my favorites. I've been hanging out in Timothy a lot of times. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, he says, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That phrase, be insistent, is active imperative, meaning this is a command. in this present time. You continue on. And it means to stand by, be at hand. I like this. Always stay at it. You always stay at it, preaching the word of God. You be instant in season and out of season. And then another definition says, keep your sense of urgency. Stay ready. This ain't no plaything, no lie. We finna see who is for real and who is not. We definitely finna see. And that's why it's so important, my brothers and sisters, that you recognize a genuine preacher. And I thank God that he laid this on my heart, because it's not only for me. Like I said with Brother Rod, not that I want to go to jail, but I look for the time that they may come and say, your name Michael Williams? Yes, it is, but you are arrested. Why? Because you preaching hate messages. Because you speaking the truth. I'll just tell my wife, pack my stuff, because I'm going. I'm going. Now, don't get me wrong. You think I want to go to jail? Heck no. I didn't want to go there. I like being home. I like coming home and see my wife. I like going in my office and chill. I like raking the yard. Well, let me change that. I don't too much like raking the yard. But that's still mine. But if I go to jail, all I'm going to see is four walls. But the thing about it, I know why I am going there. To speak the truth. I'm going to be bold in my God. So a genuine preacher has their confidence in God, and he preaches boldly. Thirdly, I want us to look at his message. Look at verse 3. We've seen his background. We've seen his boldness. Now I want us to see his message. Notice that it says, "For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit." The genuine preacher, and I keep using that term genuine preacher because it's important that we see this, preaches the gospel. He preaches the pure gospel. Secondly, he lives a clean life. And thirdly, he does not deceive the people. This is why I believe for real preachers must defend themselves. Why? Because the enemies of the truth of Christ often try to destroy the ministers, the preachers of the gospel by persecution. So when that doesn't work, get this, they try to undermine people's trust in the spiritual leaders. When they can't blunt, and I said this before in my introduction, when they can't come against the church, so now they come and malign the spiritual leaders. They say all kinds of things against their messages and against their personal lives. That's why I believe, again, the Apostle Paul had to defend himself. And I'm learning there will be times but I have to defend myself. I will ask you to forgive me. Last week, I kind of got emotional because of the fact that how that this thing was hitting me kind of hard in certain areas. And I have said to you before, and I don't want to use the pulpit for my own personal soapbox. No, it's only for the Word of God. But I am passionate about what God says about us being qualified to be spiritual leaders. Three things are said here. First of all, I want you to notice that he says, "For our exhortation did not come from error." And this is the word deceit, or the Greek word planos. And it means error, wandering, forsaking other path, or straying about, or led astray from the right way. That means roaming here and roaming there. And what is Paul is saying? He is saying he did not stray from the truth. There was no error, and he's saying he did not stray from the truth or operate apart from the standard of divine revelation. There was no false teaching or living in his ministry, as they were charging Paul against this. The gospel that he preached was without deceit. It is true and faithful. This gospel that we are preaching, it does not contain any mistakes. The word of God has no impurity. Contrast, the word of God is pure. And Paul said, look, I did not come to you with deceit or error. I didn't come and mix up the word of God or bring impurity in the word of God itself. Paul preached the true gospel of Jesus Christ. He preached the word of God. Listen to me, young preachers. And I speak to you not as one as though that I have been preaching for a long time. The Lord has allowed me to preach over 10 years. So I'm getting to the point of being a seasoned. But I'm not yet seasoned yet because I'm learning still some things. Not only in my character, in my conduct, but the way how I am to study the word of God as well. But I do know that, hey, look here. We need to preach the word of God. The whole council. He did not tiptoe around or bypass controversial subject because of persecution. In other words, he just skipped here and skipped there. You know how we like to do that spot theology? No, he didn't do that. Nor did he attempt to tickle the ears of people by preaching on subjects that they like. No, he preached the whole gospel. He preached sin and judgment. That's what we do, genuine preachers. That's what we do, preachers, men of God, servants of God, slaves of God, you who have been called out, you who have been set aside, you who have been placed in the ministry, not of yourself. We preach sin and judgment. Paul preached the pure gospel, the pure word of God. The message of Jesus Christ was not Paul's creation. He has no right to change it. Paul did not come of this message of himself, nor it was revealed to him by the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was the genuine preacher. He was the herald, as all of us who are the herald, and he only spoke what was given to him. I am not to speak of my things that I think it is. When I'm talking about preaching the word of God now, as we have talked about it, we talk about sports, we talk about Marvel comics, all kinds of crazy things. But when it comes to the word of God, we only speak what God has already said. Paul had no right in changing the message of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He had no right. Remember what I told you, what a preacher is? He is an herald. His authority does not lie in his office. His authority lies in the message that he preached. So please, young people, please, senior citizen, whoever you may be, whatever age that you are, you need to listen to these men who proclaim that they are preachers. Listen to their message. If they are haughty or arrogant in their ways, you believe that that person has not been called by God. Now, I know at times, sometimes, we have to learn to be humble. And believe me, God will humble you. But if he's true to his calling, he will know that God is the only subject that he is. And like I mentioned before, we do not preach ourselves. We preach Jesus Christ. Remember I shared with you that the genuine preacher is a guardian of the truth. Now I want you to turn with me in these passages of scripture. I want you to see this. I'm going to ask you to lick your fingers because we're going to be turning to some passages of scripture. And the first one is in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And when you have it, just say amen. He beginning at verse 1, and notice that he said, let as many bondservants as under the yoke count their own master worthy of all honor. Now he's talking about how we suppose not only to be in the church, but now he goes out and saying, this is how you carry yourself when you leave the church. how you carry yourself, how to be a Christian. That's why I love reading the epistles, because it teaches me how to be a Christian. Now, sometimes I can be, as my wife said, notorious stubborn. I don't want to do what the scripture says, because I always want to do my own thing. You know how we are. No, Lord, I'm not going to do like you tell me to do. But if you love the Lord, you will submit to the scriptures. Why? Because it is God speaking to you through the scriptures, the holy scriptures. So he tells the laborer, he says, count the all master worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine may not what, be blasphemed. And those who have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather serve them because those who are benefit are believers and beloved. Teach and exhort these things. This is what we're supposed to be teaching. That's what he says. There it is, verse 3. Notice he says, if anyone teach otherwise and does not consent to the whole wholesome word, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accord with godliness, verse 4, he is what? He's proud, knowing what? Nothing. But is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words from which come envy, strife, reveling, and evil suspicious. In verse 5, he says, useless wranglers of men of corrupted minds and destituted of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a great means of gain. From such withdraw yourself from. We are godliness of the true, genuine preachers. Notice again, as I mentioned earlier, verse 20 of chapter 6, when he says, O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and the idle babbling in contradiction of what is false, what is falsely called knowledge. They think that they have knowledge, but it's really not knowledge. He calls it babbling. It's foolishness. It's nothing. It's amazing how you hear those on TBN and other stations as well who think they have deep knowledge of God, and they ain't saying nothing. You know my favorite, T.D. Jakes, instead of him talking, he hollering. Ah! And they, come on, man. What you saying? I ain't hearing nothing but you screaming. And what you saying is foolishness anyhow. And see, it's foolishness to us. Why? Because we what? We know what the word says. But it ain't foolishness to them that listening to it, because they preach, pastor. Preach that thing, bishop. And it, you see some of them rocking like they can't handle hold themselves. Come on, man. God. Go with me quickly to 2 Timothy. I want to continue to show this. 2 Timothy chapter 1, looking at verses 13 and 14. Again, Apostle Paul, as I was sharing, that we are guardians of the truth. Notice what he shared with Timothy again. He says, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. The good thing which was committed to who? To you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwell in us. What Paul is saying to young Timothy and to all of us who are young Timothy, so to speak, to you as well, that we are to hold fast to the treasure. That good thing means treasure. It's the excellent treasure. And it's amazing that God would entrust, as we will soon see, his gospel to sinful men such as us. The fact that we are privileged to hold the graphic, inerrant word of God. I heard one of the teachers that I keep reminding myself that was at the Masters at the Shepherd Conference in California. He said the word of God is in men's mouth. The word of God is in our mouth. God has placed it and written it in our hearts. And now he tells us by his slave, the Apostle Paul, he says, hold fast that pattern, that good thing, that sound doctrine, that good treasure. One more passage of scripture. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. It's a familiar text, but it's so potent. Notice that he says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Diligence, pathazo, means to exert oneself. We ought to give it maximum effort. Now, I'll be honest, I don't give it maximum effort as God has commanded us to do it. To the point that where it says that you actually ought to have yourself tired. Exhausted. Thank you. You know, it's to the point that where you're so tired or exhausted, but yet you are rightfully, carefully dividing the word of truth. In other words, you are cutting straight. Genuine preacher, that's what we're supposed to be doing. One of the things that I shared with you earlier as in the introduction is that one of the things about a genuine preacher, he fears that he may preach or share the wrong thing against the word of God. I know these men does it. I know he does it. And anyone else, even I just believe John MacArthur, R.C. Sproul, all of them, all those who are faithful to the word of God, I believe it's one of our fears that we get this word wrong. And guess what? We will be held accountable. You too, though. Maybe not to the extent that we who are preachers or teachers, but you will be held accountable as well. It is your job to be diligent in studying the word of God. It is not for you just to come in here, Brother Mike or Pastor Mike or Pastor Rod, to hear to preach the word of God. It is you to go and study the word of God. You ought to go back and hear or study what you have heard to see as those things are so. You ought to give yourself wholly to the word of God. I'm at fault of that. I have so many things on my mind, let alone being a husband to my wife, being a father to my children, a grandfather to my grandchildren, being a husband diligently trying to take care of the house. Still, that's no excuse. There ain't no excuse. There ain't none of that. No, ain't none of that at all. You just need to get it right. You just need to tighten up. Mike, you just need to tighten up. That's all to it. But here, we must be diligent. But secondly, going back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I want you to notice in verse 3, he says, for our exhortation did not come from error, but he says, from uncleanness. In other words, the Apostle Paul preached and guarded the truth, but he also lived a clean life. The genuine preacher not only preaches the pure word of God, but his life is a clean life. In other words, he's saying, my message did not come from uncleanness. The word uncleanness, akathisia, it has to do with moral uncleanness and impurity. Now, this is a compound word composed of karsis, which means pure and clean. But when you add the prefix ak, it gives the negative expression of meaning literally without purity. And so the Apostle Paul, he was charged or slandered, saying that he was an immoral man. He lived in immorality. In other words, Paul, you are doing this for sexual sins favor. to give you a little bit more understanding of it. I want you to just hear me out in the background. In Paul's day, many of the religions in Greek cults practiced and even exalted sexual perversion. Those religions are very popular because of what they believe in and what they believe in. They believe that having sex with a ritual temple prostitute, and I want to be careful with young people in here, but truth must be told. Having sex with ritual temple prostitute or cult leaders, when one has sex with a male cult leader or a female prostitute, they believe through them would draw them closer to the gods they worship. That was permeated in the days of Paul. So when the cult leader, the wicked leader, would seek converts for the purpose of having a sexual encounter with them, they were also these charlatans. They were also in Paul's days, these false teachers, these false prophets. They would seek to enlist women to pass the religious experience of other men. Now, the question I had to ask myself, have this really changed? Still happening. One of the indicators of a false teacher is that he can't control himself. And this is not, and the accusation against Paul, this was not to be unexpected because of the immorality in society of that day. And again, has it really changed? Men after men who say that they are behind this pulpit have fallen to sexual immorality. I remember when Sister Aquinette asked the question as we began this passage, when she asked me, can a genuine preacher also start out genuine but yet fall? And the answer is absolutely. Yes. That's why we must, as he had pointed out, take heed to ourselves. We must guard ourselves, Brother Rod, because look at the enemy of our souls. Do not think that he will not send these ones against you. Amen. I had to be careful how I said it. My wife was looking at me. I better be careful. I think I told my wife this, but if I not, this would happen. But I remember one time when I was at Walmart out to the beach, and I was getting ready to go to work, and I was picking up some batteries, and I got to the counter, and the lady said, wow. I said, what? What are you talking about? Oh, you know, that young lady there, she wanted to get, I said, no, that can't happen. I said, you see this ring here? And I pointed at my ring. I said, you see this here? She said, and this was her quote. She said, and what does that mean? And I said, that means that you can't have this. You can't have this. You can't have this. But you see what I'm talking about? They don't care nothing about this, Brother Rod. They look at that part of the jury. Shoot. That's why we as preachers, we must guard ourselves. You heard me spoke about that earlier in the introduction. We had preachers talking about having the women. And again, I want to be careful, but this got to be shown. It's got to be told. Having women sitting up there not wearing their underwears and stuff. No. And again, this has not changed. The Apostle Peter, he spoke about this. And again, I want you to go with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. Look at verses 2-3. Beginning at verse 1. Minister Bashar preached on this. Brother Rod and Pastor Rod had preached on this. So we're preaching the same thing. It's over and over. Notice that it says, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive what? Here it says, even denying the Lord who brought them and bring on themselves swift destructions. Notice verse 2. And many will follow their destruction. I think the King James have pernicious ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. Look at verse 12 and 15, 12 through 15 of that same chapter. Now he describes these false teachers. He says, but these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruptions, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deception while they feast with you. Now verse 14, notice. Having eyes full of what? Adultery. And that cannot cease what? From sin. Enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetousness, pride, and accursed children. Verse 15. They have forsaken the right way and have gone astray, following the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved wages of unrighteousness. Peter says, look here. Their eyes are full of adultery. So when that false teacher is up there supposed to be preaching, he ain't preaching the word of God. He looking at the sisters. Why? Because he's full of adultery. There's nothing in him to restrain him. Nothing in him to restrain him. If the Holy Spirit is not in him, what is restraining his sinful lust, his passionful lust? And he's steadily looking at you, my sisters. And it's sad that a lot of you, my sisters, fall for that. No. Go with me to Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. Again, I actually just lick your fingers. I want you to see it. Revelation chapter 2, verse 20. Here we know our Lord, the exalted Lord, spoke to John the apostle, and he said, write this down in chapter 1. But notice what he says to the church of Thyatira. Matter of fact, beginning at verse 18, he said, and to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who have eyes like a flame of fire and feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Verse 20. Nevertheless. Now who's speaking? The exalted Christ. This is God Almighty. He says, I am the first and the last. And he's talking to the church. He says, nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allowed that woman Jezebel, who called herself a prophetess, to what? Teach and seduce my servants to what? To commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. Church is full of people like that. They're full of people like that. That's why I believe it's been laid upon my heart to share with you not only us who are a little bit older, but particularly young people. You have to see what these preachers look like, how they act, how they conduct themselves. And I pray to God that, as Brother Pastor Rob was saying, you know, we the John MacArthur's and we the R.C. Sproul's, and I don't try to compare myself with them, because they are how God would have them to be. We need to be who we are. But I pray to God that we are being an example to you, that you may follow who? Christ. So Paul was saying clearly, he is not guilty of a malicious accusation that was told about him. He did not use the ministry or a position in the ministry to attract women. The apostle and his companions were not sexual immoral spiritual leaders. Go to one more passage with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Because if that was the case, then why would he say this in chapter 4, beginning at verse 1 to through 8. I know I'm having you reading a lot of scriptures, but I want you to see it. Now, he's still talking to a young Thessalonian, this church here. But notice what he says. Finally, then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us, how you ought to walk and what? Please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from what? Sexual immorality. Notice what he says here. That each of you should know how to do what? Possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. You mean to tell me you can't restrain yourself? That means you're not a Christian. If you claim to be a Christian, but you out there committing all this type of sexual immorality, who's lying? You, like he said, you. He said we ought to know how to possess our vessels. And guess who's helping us possess it? The Spirit of God. He's been preaching on it, and now that I'm beginning to see it. In fact, look here. Paul says in Romans, if the Spirit of God is not in you, you don't belong to Christ. See, the Spirit of God borns you into the family of God. The Spirit of God changes that old nature. Well, let's say he placed in you his divine nature, because you still got to deal with that old nature. But the fact that when we submit to the Spirit of God, we will suppress the old nature as much as possible. Again, sometimes, as Paul says, he do the things that he don't want to do, and he find himself not doing the things that he should be doing. It's that war. It's that struggle. Well, if that struggle is not in you, believers, you don't belong to Christ. Amen, and guess what? You won't be able to possess your vessel, your body, your passion of lust. You will go out of it with a full strength. Your eyes be full of adultery. Who can I get now? Who? Boy, that's a nice looking man there. Look, I'm kind of telling on myself. One of the things about me when I was out there, I was kind of afraid of aggressive women. Boy, they look young. I know I'm kind of telling on myself, but I was kind of afraid of them a little bit, because I didn't know what they would do. I didn't. Some of the men said, man, you ought to be wanting to be aggressive. But I wasn't like that. I don't know what you do. But it's the same with the men as well. And particularly here, Paul says, look, I am not an immoral person. He said, first of all, when I preached the gospel to you, I preached the pure gospel to you. And when I came with cleanness of life. My life was not immoral as I've been charged against this. But again, he says here in verse 4, 5, not in the passion of love like the Gentiles who do not know God. Let's read that again. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. We ain't like them. We used to be like them. As I said before, the church ought to be full of exes. You used to be ex this. I used to be an ex-robber, an ex-thief, an ex-homemonger, an ex-drug addict, an ex-drunker. You say, oh, Brother Mike, you was an ex a lot of things. But that's what I was. And if the word is being taught and preached, the power of God through his word will change those who were like this to now saints of God. So Paul says, we are not like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother. Now hear what he's talking about. You going out there messing with somebody else. Why? And guess what the preachers, those who say they are, guess what they doing? They doing just that. in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, and as we have forewarned, and you testified in verse 7, for God did not call us unto, there go that word again, uncleanness, but what? In holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has given us who? His Holy Spirit. So the genuine preacher, he ought to know how to handle himself. Paul said, look, what I've been slandered about, of being an immoral man, I'm not like that. And that's what a genuine preacher, now don't get me wrong, as I have mentioned before, how I got to continue to pray, Lord, please don't let me fall into this. Me personally, and I think me and my brother, we spoke about this. Me personally, I believe that if, God, man, God forbid that I would have someone on the side besides my wife. Because to me now, I only give one chance. And because I have this passion, Brother Rod, this passion to preach the Word of God, the passion, not the position to be a pastor, but to preach the Word of God, that's who He has made me to be, I got to hold to these qualifications. I got to line myself against that standard. And to me, if I did that one time, just one time, I would disqualify myself. Then I would be like those who will not speak about adultery. Why? Because I committed it. Paul was saying, look, I preached the whole gospel to you. I preached the pure gospel. I did not tiptoe around any subject or any controversial subject. I preached everything that God has commanded me to preach. And to me, when a pastor, when he carry himself, when he hold himself to the standards that God has given him, that give him liberty to boldly proclaim. That's why I say, before I get behind this pulpit, I try to clear my mind. I don't try to mess with my wife or do anything to get her anger or have my mind full of stuff. Why? Because I want my mind to be clear when I'm preaching the Word of God. I want to hear what He's saying. I want to understand based on what He has taught me in my studies. I want to get up here and preach the Word of God, the whole counsel. I don't want to tiptoe around it. I want to be just as Paul said, a blameless man. You can't arrest me for nothing. You can't point at me and say, yeah, Brother Mike, I seen you tiptoe with that young lady there. Or I seen you steal that car or whatever. And that's one of the things we as ministers must do. As again, we must guard ourselves. We must take heed to ourselves. But again, the principle, even though it's with us, Pastor Rod and myself, but it's also with you. Why? Because you are an example to others. Whatever business that you have, you the one who say you are a Christian, then carry yourself like one. Don't be these hook boogie crooks out there. Be different. That was my first message. Be different. Be like Christ. Go against the flow. Let them see Christ in you. Let them hear the word of Christ in you. And even though they may paint you with the same brush, but you know that you are not like that. I hear it all the time, my brothers. Even on my job, because they've been stigmatized of what a preacher look like on what it is out there in L.A. or what people are doing in their sexual immorality. And they paint all of us with the same brush. Yeah, you are just like them. But I want to be like Paul. Paul said, no, I ain't like that. Thank you, Lord. Go with me. One more passage of scripture. Go with me. Now, I'm going to have to share this in this right here. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 17. Let us begin at verse 12 here. No, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. He says, now thanks be to God who always lead us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuse the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ. Did you hear what he's saying? Among those who are being saved and among those who are what? Perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? Verse 17. For we are not as so many telling the word of God. Did you hear that? That word peddling means a con artist. And when it says deceitfully, but as of sincere, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. And here, when it's saying that he's a peddler, he's peddling it for one reason, one only, to get that money. That's what it talks about. Now, what we had just went from in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 2, where it talks 3, where it says deceitfully, it still has the primary meaning of treating the word of God deceitfully, but it's talking about more corrupting the word of God. But here, it's talking about here, which is the same thing, but he's saying more, you doing it to get money. And Paul said, we are not like as many. So that's what we should be, my brothers and sisters. Not like the many, but the few. Let me share this at the end and we'll call it. And next week, Lord permit, we'll try to finish. I remember back when I was in prison, I came across an article that has pastor wives on it. And it's an article, this lady, she was speaking as a pastor wife. And I can't remember the thing, but when you seen the article, it had a hanger with a robe on it, a preacher's robe. Now, the article is talking from a pastor wife's view how that she had to guard herself and had to deal with her husband, who was a pastor, who the other women were messing with as well. And it was time that where he eventually fell to the temptation as well. But what I began to notice that the hanger, which had the robe on it, you would think that it's just a hanger with a robe on it. But you had to look closely at the hanger. The hanger was made out of a snake. The snake was shaped like a hanger, but it had the robe of a righteous preacher hanging on it. That's what it's at. As a matter of fact, I remember it. And I thought I cut that article out and saved it because I want to remind myself that's what I'm against. That's what all genuine preachers are against. One of the paragraphs had on there says there was a seasoned pastor with a young protege. So he put him around his arms and they walked where the choir was rehearsing. And as they was rehearsing, the paragraph said, the senior pastor said, you see up there? You can have any one of them you want. That's what we have to deal with. That's why Paul, he was charged with this malicious charge, saying he is uncleanness and a true, genuine preacher. He does not go that way, he keep himself from sexual immorality. This thing is serious. I don't want to keep lingering on it, but it is serious. And you must, my sisters and my brothers, look to these pastors who call themselves doing so. And if you see them doing it, why are you still following them? They don't disqualify themselves. And I think in Proverbs it says, the reproach of them of committing adultery will never be lifted off. And you still follow them? Well, maybe that lets me know you are like them.